"My heart bids me go on," said Legolas, "but we must hold together. I will follow your counsel."
"You give the choice to an ill-chooser," said Aragorn. "Since we passed through the Argonath, my choices have gone amiss."
He felt silent, gazing north and west into the gathering night for a long while.
"We will not walk in the dark," he said at length. "The peril of missing the trail or signs of other coming and going seems to me the greater. If the moon gave enough light, we would use it, but alas, he sets early and is yet young and pale."
"And tonight he is shrouded anyway," Gimli murmured. "Would that the lady had given us a light, such a gift as she gave to Frodo."
"It will be more needed where it is bestowed," said Aragorn. "With him lies the true quest. Ours is but a small matter in the great deeds of this time, a vain pursuit from its beginning, maybe, which no choice of mine can mar or mend.
Well, I have chosen, so let us use the time as best we may."
He cast himself on the ground and fell at once into sleep, for he hadn't slept since their night under the shadow of Tol Brandir. Before dawn was in the sky, he woke and rose. Gimli was still deep in slumber, but Legolas was standing, gazing northwards into the darkness, thoughtful and silent as a young tree in a windless night. "They are far, far away," he said sadly, turning to Aragorn. "I know in my heart that they haven't rested this night. Only an eagle could overtake them now."
"Nonetheless, we will still follow as we may," said Aragorn. Stooping, he roused the dwarf. "Come, we must go," he said. "The scent is growing cold."
"But it's still dark," said Gimli. "Even Legolas on a hilltop couldn't see them till the sun is up."
"I fear they've passed beyond my sight from hill or plain, under moon or sun," said Legolas.
"Where sight fails, the earth may bring us rumour," said Aragorn. "The land must groan under their hated feet."
He stretched himself upon the ground with his ear pressed against the turf. He lay there motionless for so long a time that Gimli wondered if he had swooned or fallen asleep again. Dawn came glimmering, and slowly a grey light grew about them. At last he rose, and now his friends could see his face. It was pale and drawn, and his look was troubled.
"The rumour of the earth is dim and confused," he said. "Nothing walks upon it for many miles about us. Faint and far are the feet of our enemies, but loud are the hooves of the horses. It comes to my mind that I heard them, even as I lay on the ground in sleep, and they troubled my dreams. Horses galloping, passing in the west. But now they are drawing ever further from us, riding northward. I wonder what is happening in this land."
"Let us go," said Legolas. So the third day of their pursuit began. During all its long hours of cloud and fitful sun they hardly paused, now striding, now running, as if no weariness could quench the fire that burned them. They seldom spoke. Over the wide solitude they passed, and their elven cloaks faded against the background of the grey-green fields. Even in the cool sunlight of midday, few but elvish eyes would have marked them, until they were close at hand. Often in their hearts they thanked the Lady of Lorien for the gift of Lembas, for they could eat of it and find new strength even as they ran. All day the track of their enemies led straight on, going northwest without a break or turn. As once again the day wore to its end, they came to long, treeless slopes, where the land rose, swelling up towards a line of low, hump-backed downs ahead. The orc trail grew fainter as it bent north towards them, for the ground became harder and the grass shorter. Far away to the left, the river Entwash wound, a silver thread in a green floor. No moving thing could be seen. Often Aragorn wondered that they saw no sign of beast or man. The dwellings of the Rohirrim were for the most part many leagues away to the south, under the wooded eaves of the White Mountains, now hidden in mist and cloud. Yet the horse lords had formerly kept many herds and studs in the East Emnet, this easterly region of their realm, and there the herdsmen had wandered much, living in camp and tent, even in winter time. But now all the land was empty, and there was silence that did not seem to be the quiet of peace. At dusk they halted again. Now twice 12 leagues they had passed over the plains of Rohan, and the wall of the Emin Muil was lost in the shadows of the east. The young moon was glimmering in a misty sky, but it gave small light, and the stars were veiled. "Now do I most grudge a time of rest, or any halt in our chase," said Legolas. "The orcs have run before us, as if the very whips of Sauron were behind them. I fear they have already reached the forest and the dark hills, and even now are passing into the shadows of the trees." Gimli ground his teeth.
"This is a bitter end to our hope and to all our toil," he said.
"To hope, maybe, but not to toil," said Aragorn. "We shall not turn back here, yet I am weary." He gazed back along the way that they had come towards the night gathering in the east. "There is something strange at work in this land. I distrust the silence. I distrust even the pale moon. The stars are faint, and I am weary as I have seldom been before, weary as no ranger should be with a clear trail to follow. There is some will that lends speed to our foes and sets an unseen barrier before us, a weariness that is in the heart more than in the limb."
"Truly," said Legolas, "that I have known since first we came down from the Emin Muil, for the will is not behind us, but before us."
He pointed away over the land of Rohan into the darkling west under the sickle moon.
"Saruman," muttered Aragorn, "but he shall not turn us back. Halt we must once more, for see, even the moon is falling into gathering cloud, but north lies our road between down and fen when day returns."
As before, Legolas was first afoot, if indeed he had ever slept.
"Awake! Awake!" he cried. "It is a red dawn. Strange things await us by the eaves of the forest. Good or evil, I do not know, but we are called. Awake!"
The others sprang up, and almost at once they set off again. Slowly the downs drew near. It was still an hour before noon when they reached them, green slopes rising to bare ridges that ran in a line straight towards the north. At their feet the ground was dry and the turf short, but a long strip of sunken land, some 10 miles wide, lay between them and the river, wandering deep in dim thickets of reed and rush. Just to the west of the southernmost slope there was a great ring, where the turf had been torn and beaten by many trampling feet. From it the orc trail ran out again, turning north along the dry skirts of the hills. Aragorn halted and examined the tracks closely.
"They rested here a while," he said, "but even the outward trail is already old.
I fear that your heart spoke truly, Legolas. It is thrice 12 hours, I guess, since the orcs stood where we now stand. If they held to their pace, then at sundown yesterday they would reach the borders of Fangorn."
"I can see nothing away north or west, but grass dwindling into mist," said Gimli. "Could we see the forest if we climbed the hills?"
"It's still far away," said Aragorn. "If I remember rightly, these downs run 8 leagues or more to the north, and then northwest to the issuing of the Entwash, there lies still a wide land, another 15 leagues it may be."
"Well, let us go on," said Gimli. "My legs must forget the miles. They would be more willing if my heart were less heavy."
The sun was sinking when at last they drew near to the end of the line of downs. For many hours they had marched without rest. They were going slowly now, and Gimli's back was bent. Stone hard are the dwarves in labor or journey, but this endless chase began to tell on him, as all hope failed in his heart. Aragorn walked behind him, grim and silent, stooping now and again to scan some print or mark upon the ground. Only Legolas still stepped as lightly as ever, his feet hardly seeming to press the grass, leaving no footprints as he passed. But in the waybread of the elves he found all the sustenance that he needed, and he could sleep, if sleep it could be called by men, resting his mind in the strange paths of elvish dreams, even as he walked open-eyed in the light of this world. "Let us go up onto this green hill," he said. Wearily they followed him, climbing the long slope, until they came out upon the top. It was a round hill, smooth and bare, standing by itself, the most northerly of the downs. The sun sank, and the shadows of evening fell like a curtain. They were alone in a grey, formless world without mark or measure. Only far away northwest, there was a deeper darkness against the dying light, the mountains of mist and the forest at their feet.
"Nothing can we see to guide us here," said Gimli. "Well, now we must halt again and wear the night away. It's growing cold."
"The wind is north from the snows," said Aragorn. "And ere morning it will be in the east," said Legolas. "But rest, if you must. Yet do not cast all hope away. Tomorrow is unknown. Reed oft is found at the rising of the sun."
"Three suns already have risen on our chase and brought no counsel," said Gimli.
The night grew ever colder. Aragorn and Gimli slept fitfully, and whenever they awoke, they saw Legolas standing beside them, or walking to and fro, singing softly to himself in his own tongue, and as he sang, the white stars opened in the hard black vault above. So the night passed. Together they watched the dawn grow slowly in the sky, now bare and cloudless, until at last the sunrise came. It was pale and clear. The wind was in the east, and all the mists had rolled away. Wide lands lay bleak about them in the bitter light. Ahead and eastward they saw the windy uplands of the Wold of Rohan that they had already glimpsed many days ago from the great river. Northwestward stalked the dark forest of Fangorn. Still 10 leagues away stood its shadowy eaves, and its further slopes faded into the distant blue. Beyond there glimmered far away, as if floating on a grey cloud, the white head of tall Methedras, the last peak of the misty mountains. Out to the forest the Entwash flowed to meet them, its stream now swift and narrow, and its banks deep cloven. The orc trail turned from the downs towards it. Following with his keen eyes the trail to the river, and then the river back towards the forest, Aragorn saw a shadow on the distant green, a dark, swift-moving blur. He cast himself upon the ground and listened again intently. But Legolas stood beside him, shading his bright elven eyes with his long, slender hand, and he saw not a shadow, nor a blur, but the small figures of horsemen, many horsemen, and the glint of morning on the tips of their spears was like the twinkle of minute stars beyond the edge of mortal sight. Far behind them a dark smoke rose in thin, curling threads. There was a silence in the empty fields, and Gimli could hear the air moving in the grass.
"Riders!" cried Aragorn, springing to his feet. "Many riders on swift steeds are coming towards us."
"Yes," said Legolas. "There are 105. Yellow is their hair, and bright are their spears. Their leader is very tall."
Aragorn smiled. "Keen are the eyes of the elves," he said.
"Nay, the riders are little more than 5 leagues distant," said Legolas.
5 leagues or one," said Gimli. "We can't escape them in this bare land. Shall we wait for them here, or go on our way?"
"We will wait," said Aragorn. "I am weary, and our hunt has failed. Or at least others were before us, for these horsemen are riding back down the Orc Trail. We may get news from them."
"Or spears," said Gimli.
"There are 3 empty saddles, but I see no hobbits," said Legolas.
"I didn't say that we should hear good news," said Aragorn, "but evil or good, we'll await it here." The three companions now left the hilltop, where they might be an easy mark against the pale sky, and they walked slowly down the northward slope. A little above the hill's foot they halted, and wrapping their cloaks about them, they sat huddled together upon the faded grass. The time passed slowly and heavily. The wind was thin and searching. Gimli was uneasy.
"What do you know of these horsemen, Aragorn?" he said. "Do we sit here waiting for sudden death?"
"I've been among them," answered Aragorn. "They are proud and willful, but they are true-hearted, generous in thought and deed,
bold but not cruel, wise but unlearned, writing no books but singing many songs after the manner of the children of men before the dark years. But I don't know what has happened here of late, nor in what mind the Rohirrim may now be between the traitor Saruman and the threat of Sauron. They've long been the friends of the people of Gondor, though they are not akin to them. It was in forgotten years long ago that Eorl the Young brought them out of the north, and their kinship is rather with the Bardings of Dale and with the Beornings of the Wood, among whom may still be seen many men tall and fair, as are the riders of Rohan. At least, they'll not love the orcs."
"But Gandalf spoke of a rumour that they paid tribute to Mordor," said Gimli.
"I believe it no more than did Boromir," answered Aragorn.
"You will soon learn the truth," said Legolas. "Already they approach."
At length even Gimli could hear the distant beat of galloping hooves. The horsemen, following the trail, had turned from the river and were drawing near the downs. They were riding like the wind. Now the cries of clear, strong voices came ringing over the fields. Suddenly they swept up with a noise like thunder, and the foremost horseman swerved, passing by the foot of the hill and leading the host back southward along the western skirts of the downs. After him they rode, a long line of mail-clad men, swift, shining, fell and fair to look upon. Their horses were of great stature, strong and clean-limbed. Their grey coats glistened, their long tails flowed in the wind, their manes were braided on their proud necks. The men that rode them matched them well, tall and long-limbed. Their hair, flaxen pale, flowed under their light helms, and streamed in long braids behind them. Their faces were stern and keen. In their hands were tall spears of ash. Painted shields were slung at their backs. Long swords were at their belts. Their burnished skirts of mail hung down upon their knees. In pairs they galloped by, and though every now and then one rose in his stirrups and gazed ahead and to either side, they appeared not to perceive the three strangers sitting silently and watching them. The host had almost passed when suddenly Aragorn stood up and called in a loud voice, "What news from the north, riders of Rohan?" With astonishing speed and skill they checked their steeds, wheeled, and came charging round. Soon the three companions found themselves in a ring of horsemen moving in a running circle, up the hill slope behind them and down, round and round them, and drawing ever inwards. Aragorn stood silent, and the other two sat without moving, wondering what way things would turn. Without a word or cry, suddenly the riders halted. A thicket of spears were pointed toward the strangers, and some of the horsemen had bows in hand, and their arrows were already fitted to the string. Then one rode forward, a tall man, taller than all the rest. From his helm as a crest a white horse tail flowed. He advanced until the point of his spear was within a foot of Aragorn's breast. Aragorn did not stir.
"Who are you, and what are you doing in this land?" said the rider, using the common speech of the West in manner and tone like the speech of Boromir, man of Gondor. "I am called Strider," answered Aragorn. "I came out of the north. I am hunting orcs."
The rider leapt from his horse, giving his spear to another who rode up and dismounted at his side. He drew his sword and stood face to face with Aragorn, surveying him keenly
and not without wonder. At length he spoke again.
"At first I thought that you yourselves were orcs," he said, "but now I see that it's not so. Indeed, you know little of orcs, if you go hunting them in this fashion. They are swift and well-armed, and they were many. You would have changed from hunters to prey, if ever you had overtaken them. But there's something strange about you, Strider."
He bent his clear, bright eyes again upon the ranger.
"That is no name for a man that you give. And strange, too, is your raiment. Have you sprung out of the grass? How did you escape our sight? Are you elvish folk?"
"No," said Aragorn. "One only of us is an elf, Legolas, from the woodland realm in distant Mirkwood. But we have passed through Lothlorien, and the gifts and favour of the lady go with us."
The rider looked at them with renewed wonder, but his eyes hardened.
"Then there is a lady in the golden woods, as old tales tell," he said.
"Few escape her nets, they say. These are strange days.
But if you have her favour, then you also are net-weavers and sorcerers, maybe."
He turned a cold glance suddenly upon Legolas and Gimli.